This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Let's see here now if we have, yes, we have our father joining us. I want to welcome to the show. He's Catholic priest and founder of the Acton Institute, joining us live from Rome. He's author of the books, The Economics of the Parables and Defending the Free Market, The Moral Case for a Free Economy. His latest article at FoxNews.com, Pope Francis was disruptive. Now the next pope must clean up the mess. Joining us now live from Rome, from the Vatican, Father Robert Sirico. Father, thank you for making the time today. How are you, sir?
Delighted. Good evening from Rome.
How is it there?
Well, it is a crush of people. I mean, that's the first thing that hit me. I was on Sky International, and I had to make it to another studio, which I never did, because the streets were so full of people. I mean, it was exciting. You could see people actually running when the smoke came out of the chimney and the bells rang. People began converging on the already full Piazza, St. Peter's Piazza, and then he comes out, and an American at that, an Italian-American who, granted, spent probably most of his life in Peru as a missionary, but he's a man of temperance. He's a man, I think, who can bring together opposite poles. Certainly his work in Peru showed him capable of doing that, and I think what's important for Americans is to understand this is the first American. He gets us. He knows. I mean, one of the real problems with Pope Francis was not just that he didn't like Americans. He didn't get us. He didn't understand what we were about. Now, if Pope Leo disagrees with something, he's going to say it, and he's going to know what he's talking about. And so this is going to be a very interesting period now.
Did you ever imagine an American pope, Father?
I was asked in the lead up to this, I've been doing a lot of commentary on this. This is my third conclave, by the way. And one of the questions that I've always been asked at some point is, do you think we could have an American pope? And I said, no, generally not. But it seems to me that given his background in Peru for most of his life, you know, a good portion of his life, he's the least American of the American cardinals. So it was a surprise, and I think it's an indication that the College of Cardinals understood the polarization in the Church Universal internationally and wanted to find somebody who could bridge the gaps. And I think in his own pastoral experience as a missionary in Peru and elsewhere, he's evidenced that kind of prudential ability. So I think it's reason to be hopeful. There are a lot of other little cues that give me somewhat comfort as a more traditionally minded Catholic. When he came out on the loggia, that's the balcony, He was wearing the red Mozzetta. Now, to most people, that would just go by them. But to real keen church observers, that was very different than Francis, who declined to do it. And in doing that, had kind of put aside a tradition for hundreds of years. And now Pope Leo has brought that back.
And what is the significance of that, Father?
Well, you know, other than the, yeah, I could give you the history of it or that, but
please,
I think
do.
What it's saying is that this is a man who respects tradition. This is a vestment that is worn for formal occasions by the Pope. The red Mozzetta recalls the fact that he's a cardinal. The white cassock that the Pope wears was the result of a Dominican once being elected Pope, and he said, I want to wear my Dominican habit, and so he did. But the Mozzetta reminds us that he's also a cardinal, because of the red symbolizes the blood that he should be willing to pour out for the sake of the church. So I think what it is, a visual cue that says, you know, I'm going to be my own man. I'm not going to just do what Pope Francis did. So I think there will be some continuity and some discontinuity with the previous pontificate.
I'm very, very happy to have live from Rome, Father Robert Sirico is with us. He is a priest, obviously, and founder of the Acton Institute, joining us from Rome. The Acton Institute sounds amazing. Will you tell us a little bit about it, Father?
Yes, well, about 35 years ago, a layman, Chris Maurin, and I began the work of the Acton Institute because we saw the problem of socialist influence in the church. At that time, it was called Liberation Theology, and we thought we needed to have an alternative way of looking at the economy and at economics and at business. Rather than seeing business and private property as exploitation, but as an opportunity of service, as a vocation, a calling from God, that business people are attempting to live out their vocation. It's not to say that every business person is a saint, but there's great potential, especially if you're concerned about the poor, as Pope Leo is, because the normal way that people rise out of poverty is not through redistribution programs, but through work, through the opportunity to have businesses. You know the old line about teach a man to work and he'll have fish for life. Teach him just to fish, yeah, and he'll eat. That kind of thing. So we began this work, and it's grown over 35 years into an international institute, highly respected. We have economic dimension conferences. And I should also emphasize that it is not a Catholic organization. It's an ecumenical organization. So we work with Calvinists and evangelicals of all sorts, even with Jews and Muslims. What we try to do is enable those traditions to speak to questions of economy and service of the poor from within their own traditional language.
And Father, your article at Fox News, where you talked about the mess that Francis made and how really free markets and capitalism can boost the poor, which, by the way, I agree with it. And I think you're spot on. 100%. I agree. And I always say to people, you know, if you do care about the poor, no other economic system has done more to lift people out of poverty and the poor than the capitalist system.
Yeah, that's just objectively true. You know, the mess that I referred to in that article was really a play on Pope Francis's words when he began his pontificate. He called on a group of young people. He said, I want you to make a mess. I want you to, you know, just stir things up. At the end of the day, after 13 years of or 12 years of the pontificate, that mess has spread, you know, in many ways that we have lost sight of the core teachings of the church. I'm not saying that Pope Francis rejected them formally, but I'm saying that he sent ambiguous messages that allowed the more progressive tendencies in the church to lay claim to the teachings of the church, which, as I say again, Pope Francis never did formally.
Mm-hmm. You know, Father, I think a lot of Americans right now who are listening, conservatives, are hoping that the Pope will, and there's some positive signs that he's commented on the influence of culture that has been antithetical to the teachings of the gospel. He's pointed out, you know, the New York Times described him as being anti-LGBTQ agenda. They're worried, though, about maybe his stance on immigration, that he might be overly vocal on that. Can you give us some insight into that for us, Father?
Well, I think that he will not take, an anti-immigration line. But I think, now this is just a thought because I haven't read any pronouncements. He's not a theoretician, you know, he's more of a pastor, but he will have to become more of a theologian. Obviously, he's going to have to put things in more a more academic form. I know that the Catechism says that we should be open and welcoming to people, but it also says that nations have the right to have borders and that it has have the right to set standards, that we don't have to just accept everyone who shows up on your doorstep, but that we call people to a generosity of heart and to understand that some people have arduous circumstances in which they are living one way or another that force them to immigrate. Now, I think a positive way of approaching this, and my own way of approaching it, isn't just to block people from coming in or to throw people out, but to build, help nations to build societies that emulate the virtues of the free market, of job production, of wealth creation, and things like that, so that people don't feel the urgency to leave their countries. So I think this is the kind of line that Pope Leo will articulate.
That's very positive, Father, because, you know, a lot of the problem that I have with socialism is that it not only provides false hope, but it tends to really hurt the developing nations of the world. I mean, you look at, you know, for example, many people on the left with their stance on climate change won't allow developing nations of the world to catch up to the United States and the Western world and things like modern medicine and energy to be able to power their societies and their
right.
countries. And that's just, I think, morally wrong. And it's morally wrong of people in, to use the term, the first world, to be able to tell a poor country in Africa, hey, you know, you can't have the same level of prosperity we have in our country because you have to sacrifice for the greater good. I think that that's morally wrong.
Yeah, it just keeps people back, you know, and it exacerbates so many other problems, including immigration. And the most developed nations, the wealthiest nations, are also the least polluting nations.
Right.
So what we want them to do is imitate that. Now, there are stages of development that nations have to go through, which at certain periods of time might produce more externalities than others. But, the United States has a pretty good approach to these questions. And I have a hunch that at the very least, Pope Leo is going to hear these in a way that maybe others in the Vatican have not heretofore. But I think we're going to have disagreements with him. And I hope he's American enough to tolerate that.
Father, before I let you go, and again, Father Robert Sirico is with me. He's founder of the Acton Institute. It's a really, you got to go to this website and check it out. It really is important. Acton.org, 20 years, 2005 to 2025. It's outstanding. And you have Acton University coming up, which people
yes.
can go to. Tell us about that, actually.
Oh, it's a fascinating program. We call it a university. It's really a summer university. So it's about 5 days where we have about 1,000 people come from 80 or 90 countries of all denominations and backgrounds. And we just have a series of about 90 different programs, different classes that are taught on various aspects of the free economy, the history of it, the economic technicalities of it, the theology of it, questions like immigration and climate change. So if you go on our website at acton.org and look under Acton University, you'll see the whole curriculum that's laid out.
Before I let you go, if the Pope were to ask you, All right, Father, give me some advice. I'm going to meet with President Trump. I think one of the things that Pope Francis did early on was he was critical of Trump by saying we should be building bridges, not walls, caused a lot of people to be upset by that. He's an American pope. The American president has come out and said this is really a huge honor for our nation. The vice president's Catholic. He's congratulated him. There's a real opportunity here. What advice would you give the new pope?
Well, I don't think the Pope needs my advice. I think he, in his bones, he's a listener. He listens to people. And I think he'll know how, well, to the extent that anyone knows how to handle Donald Trump, I think he will have a better chance at it than most people, because they'll have a rapport, an immediate rapport as Americans, have a conversation at a more profound level. I'm sure he will listen, because that's what a good pastor does. And I hope the president will listen, too, because we all have an opportunity to learn from one another. And this is an incredible opportunity to go into this in a positive way and in a way that we recognize we're going to have disagreements, but not disagreements on fundamentals, disagreements on prudence and policy. So that's... if the Holy Father asked me, that's what I'd say. But I don't think he needs me to tell him that.
Well, I think you'd be a core advisor to the Pope if it were up to me. Father Robert Sirico, this has been fantastic. Enjoy your time in Rome. And we look forward to having you back on the show. And again, please visit him at acton.org, A-C-T-O-N, acton.org. Thank you, Father. God bless.
God bless. Good night.
Oh, actually, before you go. Are you still there, Father? My daughter is having her Holy Communion on Saturday. Can you say a prayer for her? Her name is Claire.
I will do that. I will pray to St. Claire and St. Francis on her behalf and ask her to say a Hail Mary for me, too, would you?
Absolutely. Done. Thank you, Father. God bless. Thank you, my friend.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Free speech in Philly on Odyssey's number one talk station. Talk Radio 1210. 1210. WPHT.
Yeah, I can't believe I almost forgot to ask him to pray for Claire on her big day on Saturday when she's making her first communion. So there you go. And he's going to. Look at that. Excellent. Good stuff. All right. Good get, Matt. You finally got a good guest. It's taken you like 9 months, but finally.
One every 6 months is a pretty good, that's a pretty good hit rate, right?
Yeah, he was excellent. He makes up for like five guests you didn't get. Oh. So.
Well, those five guests I'm working on, how about that?
Did I get my dwarf? Where's my dwarf?
I don't think that's happening.
Still haven't got a dwarf.
Yeah, that was.
I asked for one thing. One thing. I should have asked the Father to pray for me to get a dwarf.
I think he would have declined.
That's probably true. He was great. That was really good. Live from Rome. Live from the Vatican.
Cool.
Very, very cool. All right, what do we got to do here? What am I going to talk about? Dr. Mike. Dr. Mike Veneria, Veneria Dental. Listen, we are getting into photography season. You know what I mean? Where people are going to be taking lots of beautiful pictures. Spring, it makes me reminds me of the fact that weddings are coming soon, parties and summer barbecues, and you want to look your best, your smiles, everything. So go see Dr. Mike Veneria today, my buddy, the master of dental implants. For over 10 years, 10 consecutive years, other doctors have sent their patients to Dr. Mike for complicated dental work, including implants, especially implants, too, because you got to go to the best. And, you know, I hear all these commercials out there for these chain dental offices. What are you, nuts? No, you don't want to do that. You want to go see Dr. Mike. He's got two offices, Cinnaminson, Woodbury, right over the bridge, easy to get to from wherever you are. And he's a great guy. He's a great friend. My whole family goes to him. You know, going to the dentist, too, is really important for your health. It's important for your mouth health. There's a tie-in between your gut microbiome and your gum health and your heart and all of it. It all makes sense. It's why they say you got to see a dentist twice a year. Plus, you know, you don't want bad breath and you want to have a nice smile. Whatever you need. If you've had an estimate for complicated dental work, such as a dental implant, please get a second opinion with Dr. Mike. You get a free implant consultation. And he's my good friend. We text all the time. Whole family goes to him. Mama's the only discovered him for our family. All you got to do is go to VenariaDental.com, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VenariaDental.com, or call them at 856-786-2020, VenariaDental.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Going on. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, tomorrow I'm supposed to be on Fox News at the 2 to 3 o'clock hour. I was there yesterday. So America Reports is a show I've not done yet. Sandra Smith, who's wonderful, by the way. She's so nice. But I got in the chair. You know, they did the makeup, whole thing. Sit in the chair directly across from her. My buddy Caroline Downey, who I do a lot of appearances with, she's next to me. And Sandra's wrapping up the Pope coverage. She's ready to do a tease. And the cameras, I'm staring at the camera. They go, ready, we're coming to you to do a tease. All of a sudden, president comes down and starts talking. Now, I looked at Caroline and she looked at me. And I knew at that moment that we were going to get bumped because, you know, he's not going to come out and talk for like a minute. Sure enough, went on for 15 minutes. But it's my fault. I did. Matt DeSantis, you want to know why this is my fault?
I would love to know why that happened? Yes, I would love
to. So yesterday, do you remember the original White House daily press guidance we got yesterday was that Caroline was supposed to do a press conference at 1 o'clock? Do you remember that?
I do remember that, yeah.
So I texted Caroline and I said, hey, do me a favor. This is my debut on America Reports, America Reports today. So could you keep it brief? And they cancel the press conference. I said, I'm going to be on at 1:45. They cancel the press conference and the president comes out at 1:45. He did this just to spite me. I'm telling you, he did it just to spite me. I have no doubt about that.
You kind of got what you wished for. The press conference didn't occur, and it didn't bleed into your Fox appearance, your scheduled Fox appearance. But, something still disrupted. It was sort of like the monkey's paw, you know, where you make the wish, you get what you wish for, but something terrible happens.
No, I think she probably told him. She's like, oh, Zioli's going to be at America Reports at 1:45. So, and he's like, oh, good, I'll come out at 1:45 and bump him. All part of his plan to make my ratings go down to zero.
You think he'll have anything to say tomorrow?
I better not. No. Tomorrow's Friday. He's like me. On Fridays, I won't be here tomorrow either. So, he's going to go to Bedminster or Mar-a-Lago or, you know, pray to God. And they picked the Pope today, so thank God. You know, I don't have to worry about getting bumped for that. That's good. Because, you know, you go all the way up to New York. And, I mean, it's nice they send a car for you. It's not like you got to schlep up there. But still, you do the makeup, the hair, you know, you're sitting in a chair, you're all excited, and then nothing. Nothing happens. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, you can't, you know what I'm saying? So.
You don't have to go any deeper into that.
I mean, not that that's ever happened to me, I'm saying. But, you know. I hear other guys have had that problem, but. So that's what happened. So then I went over to Fela, and I wanted a pity guest hit on his show. He was all booked. I've been bumped three times this week so far from Fox News, twice on Dana's show, Monday and Tuesday, and then yesterday America Reports. So tomorrow, knock on wood, it happens.
Oh, I have something. I have something that the president said about your show.
Oh God, go ahead.
What I'd love to do, I'd love your ratings to go down to zero.
Yeah, I know. I know. And he's doing everything possible he can to make that happen. So, very obvious. Very obvious.
So, he's getting his wish.
I shouldn't have told them that I was going to be out at 1:45. I should have said it was going to be 1:15, and then he would have wrapped up by then. I'm going to have to Jedi mind trick them next time at the White House and be like, oh, I'm going to be on at 12:30, you know? This way it's clear there's like a 2-hour window of not, you know, that would be nice. But,
just lie to the White House.
Yeah, I'm just going to start making up hit times and bump other shows.
It's a good idea.
And then Monday I'm going back up because I'm doing Perino's podcast, Perino on Politics, and I may be on America's Newsroom Monday. I don't know. Possibly. It's up in the air. And then Thursday going back up to fill in for Jimmy Failla and then do the show from his studio. So, and now Friday we're supposed to be, it's going to be a big week. And then Friday we're supposed to be in D.C. for the Republican National Lawyers Association thing to do the show there and hang out with the White House lawyers, which I probably should have told Greg about when I talked to him earlier today, and it just completely slipped my mind. But
he doesn't know about that?
I meant to tell. I called him for that reason, and then we got distracted by other things.
So
that's what happened. My attention span, you know? Like, I called him and he didn't answer, and then by the time he called me back, I forgot what I was calling him about. Does that ever happen?
Well, on the bright side, from a tech standpoint, I think we're all set. So you should be good.
All right. Well, that's good. We'll hobnob with some of the White House lawyers and some of the speakers. Who's speaking? Do you remember who some of the guests are that are speaking at that event?
I don't have it in front of me, but I can find it.
Yeah. And Linda Kearns, of course, who invited us to go down there. And Linda, who's paid money for me to be nice to you for a week. So I'm looking at the week of August 23rd.
I'm guessing you're on vacation that week or
something. I am on vacation that week. Yeah. So I would think that's the week.
Count. That does not count. She was very clear. It had to be a week that you were in Monday through Friday. You're not even allowed a single day off for the nice Matt DeSantis week.
That's impossible because we're getting into summer Friday season, which we're starting tomorrow. So, I mean, that's ludicrous. It's a ludicrous idea right there. You know, give me a break.
She donated a lot of money so that I could have 1 week of joy.
One week of joy. That's all you get. You get 1 week of joy, and that's it. What am I doing? Am I taking a break, or what am I doing?
I don't even know. I think you're all right. I think you can do a little bit of a segment here because we've taken one break already, and typically you
that's
don't
right,
break again
break,
until 40-ish.
Right?
Yeah. Man, so we're in good shape.
All right. You know what it is? I got distracted by this Chiron on Fox and News. Crockett plays Trump or trans game at hearing. Do you have that?
We have that clip.
Which clip is that?
I have it somewhere. Hang on. I think it's cut 20, but let me. Yeah, it is cut 20.
All right, cut number 20. This is Representative Jasmine Crockett asks a witness to play a game during a House hearing called Trump or Trans. Okay? It was a House hearing on transgender athletes, and the woman asks, the congresswoman asked this person to play this game. Now, let me see if I can put my glasses on here, get the description here. So Representative Jasmine Crockett asked a witness in a House hearing. This hearing has nothing to do with improving government efficiency, she said. So, Miss Gross Graves, I want to play a game. All right. This is the National Women's Law Center CEO, Fatima Goss Graves. Cut number 20.
And yet, they're here today trying to convince the American people that discriminating against trans people is somehow the only way to protect women. This hearing has nothing to do with improving government efficiency. It's another attempt by Republicans to distract from their demonic and disastrous policies that are making it more difficult for Americans to make ends meet. So, Ms. Goss Graves, I want to play a game. It's called Trump or Trans. You ready?
Okay.
So I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to tell me whether or not it is Trump or trans people that are responsible. You understand?
Got it.
Okay, very good. The first one, good at medical research.
Trump.
Kidnapping Americans and sending them to foreign countries, a.k.a. deporting them.
Trump.
Driving us into a recession.
Trump.
Increasing the cost of everything.
Trump.
Waging an idiotic tariff war.
Trump.
Harming farmers.
Trump.
Ignoring the Constitution.
Trump.
Proposing to take away Social Security.
Trump.
Cutting health care.
Trump.
Firing government
workers
who keep
our country
safe.
Okay, we get the point. Thank you. First of all, this the thing about a game, if you want to make it funny, by the way, is you got to have it so that you don't really know the answer. Obviously, everything she's saying, the answer is Trump, so it's not a very fun and interesting game. You got to make it kind of like, you know, she could have made a locker room joke. If she had any modicum of intelligence and humor, she could have made like a locker room joke because Trump said, you know, locker room humor. And then be like, trans or Trump, huh? Who walked into the ladies room? Trans or Trump? You know, I mean, could have made it fun. But that's what happens when you have nothing but hate. First of all, and her claims are so ludicrous, farmers are ecstatic today over the announcement with the UK. In fact, the Secretary of Agriculture, Brooke Rollins, and deporting is now kidnapping, a.k.a. deporting. It's kidnapping now. Okay, good to know. So that's means that when a judge says somebody has to be deported and the law enforcement come to deport that person, they're now kidnapping that person. Got it? I guess it'd be the same as if the police take somebody in custody with an arrest warrant. They're kidnapping people. This woman is such an idiot. But I could have appreciated the game if it was kind of fun. You know what I mean? Like if it was like we've played games on Jimmy's show before, like Steakhouse or Gay Bar. That's a fun game because you don't really know the difference. We've played games Florida, like meth head or Florida congressperson. Like we've played fun games, pills or wine. But the whole point is you don't really know the answer. That's what makes it fun. That was really bad. Trump or trans? Trump or trans? Here's the Secretary of Agriculture, Brooke Rollins, is cube cut number 9 after the historic announcement today with the UK and the United States of America on this deal. How are people in agriculture are going to benefit from this? Cut number 9.
Let's talk about American beef really quickly, and it can't be understated. I'm Brooke Rollins, by the way, how important this deal is and what this means to American farmers and ranchers. Specific to the beef, this is going to exponentially increase our beef exports. And to be very clear, American beef is the safest, the best quality, and the crown jewel of American agriculture for the world. So I think a really important part of this deal isn't just the ethanol reducing of tariffs from 19 to zero, which for our row croppers is a huge deal, but also for beef. And as we move forward, I know our incredible trade team is looking at all of the meats, all of the produce, really all of our agriculture exports. And I don't know if there's an industry that has been treated more unfairly and has suffered more than our agriculture industry. So we look forward to, I'll be in the UK on Monday, talking to my counterpart over there for next week, and look forward to moving that out across the country. The president is
incredible. I think we could say that we have the best in the world, best tractors, the best everything in the world. And they say that our agriculture is, you know, second to none, you understand. And it'll be a great asset. People are going to be able to have options, choice, and they'll have more of it. And that usually means lower prices. How about?
Good. That's excellent. Really good stuff right there. The president was asked about Russia and Ukraine and if we're making some progress today. So we are, and good, because I want this war to come to an end. I know there's a lot of frustration right now with people who are saying, when is this war going to end? Look, you have to realize something, okay? This is one of the questions I got the other night at Politics and Pints, or maybe it was an email yesterday about, you know, when is the war going to end? We're 100 days into this administration, but we had 4 years, or 2.5 years, 3 years, whatever, of the American government giving Ukraine everything it wanted with absolutely no preconditions whatsoever. There was no one suggesting peace talks. There was no one trying to come to a deal to bring this war to an end. It was just write a check. Under this guise of standing with our allies, we're going to give Ukraine everything it needs, whatever it wants, period. And so now we're trying to change that, and we're 100 days in. You can't expect that to happen overnight. I think that that's ludicrous to expect. So we're making progress. This is going to end. I have no doubts about that. It's going to end. But man, I mean, 100 days to end a war that's been going on for years, where we, the United States of America, have given Ukraine and our military industrial complex $350 billion. You don't just turn that off overnight, as much as you'd like to think you can. That's not realistic. This is what the president said. Cut number 12 today as he took questions in the Oval Office after the announcement of the trade deal. Cut 12.
Oh, I think we're making good progress. The fighting is a little bit different than it was. I think if we weren't involved, Russia would be, you know, going at it to maybe get the whole thing. Without our involvement, they'd be able to get it, because we supplied a lot of different things, foolishly. But we've been sort of paid back by doing the rare earth deal that I talked about before. I think that, I think that we will be very much involved in trying to get that bloodbath. It's a bloodbath. It's a horrible situation. 5,000, it's really more than that. But it's 5,000 soldiers on average a week, mostly soldiers, are being killed. Young, beautiful people. I mean, they're being killed. I see the satellite pictures coming back, body parts lying all over fields, heads and arms. It's so terrible. I've never seen anything like it, actually. And if we can get that stopped, that will be a great accomplishment. And we're trying very hard. And I think we're close. And Mr. Witkoff is talking constantly back and forth. He's a real professional. He's got a great relationship with both countries. And I think we have a good chance. And likewise, we're trying to work on Iran to get that solved without having to get into any bombing, as we say, big bombing. I don't want to do that. I want them to work a deal. I want them to be very successful.
There you go. Let's have it. Let's do it. Now, I'd like to have not only like peace, obviously, in the world. I'd like Hilaria Baldwin to shut up. So, Matt, I don't know. Did you see this article in the New York Post today about Hilaria Baldwin? What's her name? Hillary, right? Hillary.
I think she pronounces it Hilaria.
Yeah. First of all, if you can see this, she's had 7 kids, and she looks like she weighs about 95 pounds. So I don't know how that's possible, but never. She's got a new book out. Hilaria's Book of Fiction is how Kristen Fleming from the New York Post described it. And I read the review of this book. It's called Manual Not Included. It's got a bunch of sob stories. She even talks about the Rust shooting. Yeah. And this is what one of the things she said. The tabloid media will likely create headlines from this chapter. It's what they do. But I ask that we all have the decency to look beyond the headlines and remember what happened. Someone died. Yeah, we know someone died. Your husband killed that person. Like, we know somebody died. That's because your husband killed her. She plays the victim all the time. And you know the fake Spanish that she did? Because she pretended that she was a Spaniard. Isn't she from, like, she's from, like, Jersey, isn't she?
She's from the U.S.
Yeah. I'd like them to go away. That would be nice. Wouldn't that be nice if the Baldwins went away?
She's from Boston, Massachusetts.
That's right.
The accent's phony.
Yeah. She looks like olive oil. Like, look at her. How do you have 7 kids and look like friggin' olive oil? Well, you know, from Popeye, I mean.
That could be photoshopped, but I don't know. I did see there was a story going around. It's like an excerpt from the book about how she felt disrespected by Alec Baldwin through certain moments of her marriage. And as a consequence of that, she took her rings off and she contemplated divorce. I feel like every time she does a media hit at this point, she's just dumping all over her husband.
Well, she's insane, clearly, and he deserves this. He really does. When she's not complaining about the intrusion into her privacy while simultaneously begging us to come in, she's dropping intimates about her life. Then there's the love story with her 26 years older husband, which she claims got her pegged as a gold digger. No matter who dated Alec Baldwin, she was going to be picked apart, she says.
But, I wonder why she got labeled as a gold digger.
Yeah, I can't imagine why. But Hilaria was not picked apart. Doors were open for her. She was even given a gig with Extra and regular appearances on morning and daytime television, during which no one even questioned her Spanish background. People just simply took her word for it. The tide only turned in 2020 when a Twitter user revealed the truth. She wasn't Hilaria desde España. She was Hillary from Jersey or Boston, whatever. The book finally explains it all. She has ADHD and dyslexia, shocking, which accounts for her bizarre Spanish-ish accented English. And she writes this. Labels such as multicultural, multilingual, third culture kids, culturally fluid are attempts to capture what it is to not belong and not to belong in a world that just wants to put everyone in one simple box. We often gravitate toward one another. We sound different because we naturally code switch between different languages and mannerisms. Who the hell wrote this? Kamala Harris? Was she the ghostwriter on this? Then my favorite line of the book, Kristen Fleming writes, comes as this. Quote, I had a crash course in how some monolingual people really struggle with how I speak. Monolingual. That would be people that speak only one language, who can't understand somebody speaking fake Spanish. So there you go. That's a book to avoid at all costs, by the way, if you are looking for a book. Avoid that one.
They're both just unbearable. I hope they don't get divorced because, they deserve each other.
They really, I mean, they are the two worst people. They annoy me so much right now at this moment in time that I would actually pick Ben Affleck over Alec Baldwin if I had to vote somebody off the island. But only if he had to take her with him.
It's a package deal.
Package deal. So that's it.
Yeah.
No, that's what I want to see.
Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez are also sort of unbearable. See, I don't hate Ben Affleck as much as you do. Your disdain for Affleck is obviously well documented. I don't think he's that terrible because I like a few of his movies. But when you combine Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez, then they get annoying. But I feel like Baldwin and Hilaria, they're both just annoying on their own. And then when you put them together, it's like an annoyance nuclear bomb.
Yeah, no, it really is. An annoyance nuclear bomb with a massive, massive mushroom cloud and fallout and radiation and, you know, it's everywhere. Can we play Maxine Waters forgetting that she ever met the United States Secretary of the Treasury, Scott Bessent? Maxine, who's, what is she now, 147 years old, Matt? Is that what her age? Do we?
Gotta be in her late 80s.
I would think... If you've got the Secretary of the Treasury in front of you, Scott Bessent, this is cut number 21 now, and here's Maxine, who, remember, she led the chant, that heroic chant, impeach 45, impeach 45, impeach 45, the lowest low-energy chant of all time. She can't remember ever meeting the Secretary of the Treasury, but he set her right. This is cut 21. Take a listen.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Secretary Bessent, this is the first time we've met. Is that correct?
No, ma'am. We actually met one New Year's Eve in the Bahamas. And I was...
He didn't make an impression.
Why don't I remember that?
Well, you were much better at the electric slide than I was. And I was with the Prime Minister of the Bahamas yesterday, Prime Minister Davis, who sends his regards.
Well, were you with my husband? When he was the ambassador to the Bahamas, appointed by Clinton.
So,
well, you're not going to like this. And so this is the first... I didn't remember that, but that's odd because you've been at Treasury, and I've sent you 5 letters to ask about what was going on under your leadership and only received a couple of cursory replies from your...
Well, maybe if you remember the guy... He'd write you back.
In fairness, though, she did think that Russia invaded North Korea. So she's got a lot on her mind, a lot on her plate.
That's very, very true. And she's like one up him. Like, well, my husband was the ambassador to the Bahamas. So there you go. This family makes money from the... We suck off the public teat. That's what we do, Mr. Secretary. Boom. I got you. Mic drop. It's like, what? And then Democrat Gregory Meeks had a meltdown after the Treasury Secretary, this is cut 22, trolled him over Joe Biden's poor mental state. Scott Bessent is a smart guy, man. You, if you're going to go in the ring with this guy, you better be prepared. None of these people ever know how to arm up. That's a big part of their problem here. Cut 22.
They missed it. Who was the president? Who has been the president since January 20th, 2025?
Donald J. Trump.
Okay. And who was the president in 2024?
One believes President Biden.
One believes? you one of those non-believers that the election, the American people didn't vote?
I am not.
You're not? You said one believes? Do you believe in the Constitution of the United States? And it should be abided
by. I believe in the Constitution of the United States.
So you believe in it without any second thought. You don't have to think about it. You believe in it and you would abide by it. Is that correct?
I have and I do, sir.
Okay. But do you know that a president has said he may or may not? He don't know? Let me ask this question. I can't.
What Bessent was talking about, which Meeks did not pick up on, is he goes, many people believe that because Biden was not actually functioning as president. The auto pen was. And Bessent's a gentleman, so he wasn't going to come back and be like, no, it's not that I don't believe the election was real. I just believe the auto pen was running the country. That's what he was. That's, you know what? He held back. He was a gentleman about it. But, you know, that's the bottom line. So that was, to me, that was very, very funny. I thought that was good. Matt already did the Veneria full, by the way. I did that before. Pay attention.
Sorry.
Pay attention to the show, will you? Now you're unredeemed for getting us that good guest from Rome. So forget it. Now you're back on the S list.
You missed one live read, and yeah, back in the doghouse.
Back in the doghouse. You see that? No, Biden was running. It was the freaking auto pen that ran everything. And understand something. When he went on The View today, we have some audio of this. What a disaster. And Dr., you always have to say that by law, Joe Biden, had to jump in and save him. Here on the day, we have an American Pope, points on the board, a Nova graduate, a Villanova graduate. Yeah, he's our own guy. We got our Pope. We got, finally, America's got a Pope. It's a good day for the United States of America. And it's a really good day for you to start thinking about summer vacation, because at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, you're going to have a beautiful time there with two big, beautiful heated pools, outdoor, indoor, hot tub. It's got a game room for the kids, restaurant right on site, Hemingway's restaurant with beautiful food and drinks, some of the freshest steaks, seafood you're going to find anywhere at the Jersey Shore. Cape May is beautiful in the summer, and the Grand Hotel gives you resort credit. So the longer you stay, the more you save. And that's a great thing. You stay a whole week, you're going to get $80 a night in resort credits to use. Use it at Hemingway's restaurant, the outdoor pool bar, beach concession stand, whatever you want to, however you want to use it. The beautiful thing about the Grand Hotel of Cape May, the people there are wonderful people, and they really go the extra mile for you with these resort credits. I talked to Bob about this, the owner of the hotel, years ago. I think it was at our first live show, actually, which, by the way, will be back there on June 20th. And I said, what made you decide to give the resort credits back to people? And he said, because we want to give something back. You know, we want to make sure people are having a great time and they're enjoying their stay. So always book direct with them for the best rates to get those resort credits. And book a June midweek stay right now by going to GrandHotelCapeMay.com. Why don't you book that week? We'll be there June 20th. Stay for the whole week. Make a great vacation out of it. The Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey is also a beautiful place to have a wedding, baby shower, a bridal shower, family reunion, and, of course, a beachfront fairy tale wedding. Just call my friend Caitlin. She'll make it happen for you, and you'll be so happy about it. It'll be a beautiful, beautiful day. GrandHotelCapeMay.com. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
We got a lot going on today. It's a big deal. Biden on The View. Dr. Jill Biden has to jump in and save him. And our buddy Dr. E.J. Antoni is going to be with us at 5 o'clock to talk about some of the news out of the day today from the agreements. Big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. Let me, I want to play for you one clip of Joe Biden from The View today, because it went about as good as you can imagine. This is a little bit of a shorter cut. This is cut 16 from The View. And try and see if you can interpret what Biden is saying here, okay? Take a listen.
That all the projects, the benefits. How do you lead the world without having the best infrastructure in the world? How do you lead the world without having the best healthcare in the world? How do you lead the world without having the best education system in the world? How do you lead the world when you don't have that done?
How do you lead the world? How do you lead the world? How do you... And then, of course, there was a said that he said he still could have beat Donald Trump. He says he could have beat Trump, and but then he goes on to say that nobody could have beat Donald Trump. So he wants it both ways. But listen to this live from Joe Biden today on The View. This is cut 28. Take a listen. Cut 28, Sean. Sorry.
You had previously said that you thought that you would have won. Since then, Donald Trump won all the battleground states and made inroads with almost every major demographic, from working class voters to Hispanic men to black men. Knowing what you know now, do you think you would have beat him?
Yeah, he's still got 7 million fewer votes.
Yes.
There you go. Okay. A lot of people didn't show up. Mm-hmm. Number one. Number two, they're very close in those toss-up states. It was it wasn't a slam dunk. Mm-hmm. And look, Every time I've been on the show, which you've been fortunate.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.